certainly a pleasure to be back at Greenacre. We seem to be taking more and more weekends here, and they seem to be weekends connected with the Association for Baha'i Studies. Often I don't have an opportunity to indulge in my avocation, which is writing poetry. But I did write a couple of poems which I think are applicable to what we've just seen in this film. They both deal with children. And one, in fact, was used in a statement which I made to the UNICEF Executive Board a couple of years ago. I was chairman of the Non-Governmental Organizations Committee on UNICEF, and as such was required to make a statement to the board on the activities of this NGO committee in a number of areas: the disabled child, children in emergency situations, street children, breastfeeding and infant feeding. I was required to make a statement to the board, and I decided the UN is terribly stodgy, you know, and I had this poem that I thought would fit in very nicely at the end of the statement. So I did put it there, and I didn't have any complaints. In fact, I had a lot of people who made comments on it, and I'd like to share it with you. It's called Indivisible from Us. Indivisible from us, these children walk their last inevitable miles, a marathon from no free choice, hoping to snap the finish line alive. When they cross bridges, they cannot recall a starting point, nor see how near to the race end. Just catch their breath and take one further step. They die and live in us, these children, holding spirit tight to body, as if a loosening grasp might mean a stop, an end too soon, without a second chance, no way to travel back. Tomorrow, brothers, sisters, may well not start the trek, lie under blankets at some camp, having overslept their human time. There was another poem that I was very much moved to write after I saw one of these UN films, and this one is called Ogaden, and it dealt with the plight of children in Ethiopia. It is obscene to film the dying if they can still reach water. I am the eyes that come to find this subject child seared in the sun. You make me watch these children baked to skin. When I come back, a man has just wheeled in a large plastic bottle for the office cooler and rolls out the empties. Film this. I felt rather bitter, and I think this relates to a discussion that we touched on the other day about the arts and development, and in this case the art of cinematography and its relationship to development, and maybe its sense of responsibility to this process. One responsibility is what we saw a few minutes ago, the enlightenment of all of us regarding the plight of children in the world, an objective and positive approach. Other times it's more debatable of what we do. Is it exploitation of the subject or not? Our relationship to UNICEF at the United Nations is developing steadily and has been developing steadily for the last few years. We gained consultative status with UNICEF in 1976, and since then several of us, primarily Mrs. Mary Zawicki and myself and more recently my wife Betty, have been involved in UNICEF activities, also the Human Rights Unit now through Mrs. Margaret Knight, have been involved in the Convention on the Rights of the Child, making contributions to the Convention on the Rights of the Child. So there is a great concern that we have, all Baha'is have, for children, for the development of children, certainly the spiritual and moral development of the children, the recent plans of the Universal House of Justice have stressed the need for children's classes, and these have expanded throughout the Baha'i world. Perhaps the time has come now in which we can tie in this moral and spiritual development, and I'm sure that we have already been doing it to a certain extent through our tutorial schools, but some way in which we can tie in this moral and spiritual development with emotional, physical, intellectual development of the child. Betty and I were down at the Baha'i International Health Agency meeting in Florida a few months ago, and we showed this film and had a brief presentation on UNICEF's Child Survival Revolution. And incidentally, for those of you who are interested, there are two sets of a publication by UNICEF called Ideas Forum over there. One of them, I don't have as many as, I don't have enough for everybody, but one of them has the Child Survival Revolution, some explanation about it. It's very interesting. And the other one has some more materials on UNICEF's involvement, including in International Year for the Youth. If you would like, if you can't get a copy and would like to have one, please leave your name and address, and we will be sure to send it to you. But the Baha'i International Health Agency became very interested. This is the, as you know, is the agency that was a spin-off from the Association for Baha'i Studies, and is an agency of health professionals in the Baha'i world, and it became very interested in doing something to cooperate with UNICEF in this child survival revolution, because as the film said, it's a responsibility for all of us. I mean, not only governments, but it's what we would call universal participation, what the UN calls popular participation, but everybody has a part to play. And if there is some way in which, without taking time from our important responsibilities of building the world order of Baha'u'llah, we can also assist a UN agency and a program of UN agency, which is, I think, which probably touches all of us very much, we really should do it. And the Baha'i International Health Agency and the health professionals there became very interested. And at the present time, the health agency is, I understand, consulting the Universal House of Justice about the possibility of involving Baha'i health professionals in cooperation with UNICEF and working closely with our office. This is at the initial stages, but it's a very, very exciting possibility. Of course, there are other ways that this can be done also, and one of the ways it can be done is probably making use of the tutorial schools to carry on this education in health and nutrition for children. I think you might be interested, in fact, in knowing about these tutorial schools or different Baha'i schools throughout the world. I just got a report from the Universal House of Justice the other day from the Office of Social and Economic Development regarding Baha'i projects in the world. And the first section deals with education. And looking at it quickly, and counting the number of schools, there are about 80 schools. Some of them are, of course, primary and secondary schools, well established. The Anis Lunuzi School. There are two schools in Uganda. There are some schools in Brazil. There are, of course, the schools in India. But most of them, and this is by continent. And if I just read the names, schools in Burundi, Cameroon Republic, Central African Republic, Chad, Ghana, Kenya, Lesotho, Liberia, Malawi, Mauritius, Rwanda, Senegal, Sierra Leone, Swaziland, Togo, Transkei, Uganda, Zaire, Zambia, Zimbabwe. And then in the Americas, from A to Z, just about, Argentina, Belize, Bolivia, Brazil, Chile, Colombia, Dominican Republic, Haiti, Jamaica, Panama, Paraguay, Suriname, Trinidad, United States, Venezuela. And then in Asia, the Andaman and Nicobar Islands, Bangladesh, across a large number in India, Indonesia, Pakistan, Philippines, Sikkim, Sri Lanka, Thailand, in Australasia, Fiji, New Zealand, Papua New Guinea, Tonga, Tuvalu, Tutorial School, Vanuatu, and in Europe, Norway has a Baha'i school. And it's interesting, we're just talking now about schools because we're discussing the matter of children, but it's rather exciting to see the development of these schools. Most of these are operational. There are a few that have been proposed. There are other areas in which certainly children are involved. Health and social services is broken down into certain organizations that already have started. For instance, India, the Rabbani school is listed here, health project. Medical camps, the medical clinic in Chandrapura. In Europe, there's a Baha'i, Germany is a Baha'i home for the aged in Langenhain. Brazil, there's a medical orientation for mothers, for instance. And of course, there's a Baha'i home for the aged in Wilmette. But this is, it's rather fascinating to see how the Baha'i world has responded to the letter of the Universal House of Justice of October 20. And how the development projects, proposals for development projects are springing up from all over the world, and they're coming from the grassroots. These are needs that are being felt by communities. I just happened to see something that intrigued me. Under Paraguay, there's an agricultural development program. It says the National Teaching Committee is in charge of a program to stimulate agricultural development of rural indigenous communities. Seed and some tools are provided. An engineer in agronomy will advise on cultivation of these lands. Goals are to increase income and contributions to the fund. This is just one of the many. These are the project kind of projects I think that will be coming up. Projects that are fairly small in scope that have a direct tie-in with Baha'i needs and the development of the Baha'i community. Getting back to our relationship to UNICEF and the possibilities there, we have reached a point in our relationship with UNICEF where it is possible to begin tying in with some specific UNICEF programs. Or at least seeing how a Baha'i community in a certain area with its strength can perhaps tie in with one of the 3-year programs that UNICEF establishes with the government of a given country. Recently, UNICEF decided that Kenya was a very good place to try to see how it could work more closely with non-governmental organizations. It is in the process now of preparing a 3-year program to be presented to the UNICEF Executive Board next year in May. And UNICEF was so interested in working with NGOs, as they're so-called, that it has sent a key person in its secretariat who is in the office of non-governmental organizations to go for 6 weeks to Nairobi to work with non-governmental organizations and consult with them and see how they might fit in with this program. Now, this is a wonderful opportunity, and we are alerting the Baha'is of Kenya about this, because it's a wonderful opportunity for the Baha'i community of Kenya, with its strength, to see what it possibly can do. The community had already made some suggestions to the Universal House just about programs that they might execute in the agricultural area, for instance. Now, these might well tie in with the UNICEF and government program. This is one way in which we can do it without in any way jeopardizing the Baha'i character of a development project. In other words, we maintain our independence, and we say, look, we are ready to do this or that, maybe this will fit in. And UNICEF is very receptive. They're very field-oriented. Most of their people are in the field, not in headquarters. So, and I think that one experience, I think yesterday Sherman was was mentioning that in connection with the project of Rabbani School, that there has been a very good contact with UNICEF and with the person in the field who was using, preparing materials and producing materials, and was very happy to loan these materials to the Baha'is for use in the villages. Another possibility is, and Glenn Aford referred to that yesterday, as we developed in some areas the radios, for instance, the Baha'i radios, this UNICEF becomes interested in working with us. We also are most willing to have, for instance, UNICEF use the radio stations in Ecuador and Peru, and already contacts have been made with UNICEF offices, as well as the new station in Bolivia. We are very happy to have UNICEF use these stations for perhaps 1 hour of programming a week or twice a week or whatever seems to be necessary to make the population aware of the child survival revolution, or the oral rehydration therapy, which saves millions of lives, or the need for breastfeeding and infant feeding, the female education. This is very interesting because this ties in with the second part of our program, because UNICEF just added this female education this year. It used to be, they used to call it GOBFF, growth, oral rehydration, breastfeeding, and immunization. And then they added food supplements, and they had food supplements, and they had family spacing, but now they've added female education. And this is very interesting because the role of the mother is so vital. One very comfortable very comfortable aspect of our relationship with to UNICEF is that there's a lot of focus on woman as the mother, which is a little different than the liberation movements that are around us in Western society, and has, although they are very interested in other needs of women, this is one focus that the movement or female liberation outside, so-called female liberation outside, don't take into account, and it's very strongly behind. Another, so there's a possibility again with working with UNICEF, offering our services to UNICEF in the case of the Radio Baha'i. Also, there's one going to go up in Panama. And Panama already has had a contact with the government and with UNICEF regarding a food supplement program among the Guaymi Indians. And this was, again, I mentioned this to the last time I was up here, I believe. It was an opportunity to make contact with a government official that was working with UNICEF through Councillor Ruth Pringle, and then later through the NSA of Panama. And this resulted in a contact with the First Lady of Panama and the establishment of this close relationship of the Baha'i Cultural Center among the Guaymis, and this project of feeding of food supplements for the Guaymi people. The government was delighted because they didn't have time. They didn't have a structure as the Baha'is have among the Guaymis, where they've been working for 20 years, and there's a solid Baha'i community developing. So the Baha'is there would have a structure in the community that would be able to assist in a program like this, which, of course, if it were in accord with the teachings and the needs of the community and didn't contravene in any way the teachings of the faith. Another illustration is the use of the Agnes Unuzi School in Haiti for UNICEF training. UNICEF has programs in Haiti, and they're using the school to train their people, which, again, is a contribution that we can make. So these are some ways that are beginning. In Bolivia, something quite different happened. In Bolivia, the same process that is now going to happen in Kenya with UNICEF began recently for a 3-year program with Bolivia. And the Baha'is there were alerted about that, and they went to the meeting in which other non-governmental organizations were consulting with UNICEF and government officials. And as a result, two Baha'is landed jobs with UNICEF. Somebody said recently, "It's too bad, we've lost two good Baha'is." But one is a lawyer, Nello, who has become a consultant for UNICEF, turned out to be a key person with experience in primary health, experience, knowledge of Bolivia. And there he was, and UNICEF was looking for somebody to get this program off the ground. And so he was one. Another one was John Kepner. And in Peru, the same thing happened. They needed somebody who had experience in audiovisual. So a member, Serbal Fernando Schiantarelli, is now a consultant for UNICEF in Peru. So this, again, this should encourage you that if you have skills, you might be sought after by UNICEF and other UN specialized agencies. I think that is about what I wanted to tell you about UNICEF, our involvement in children, and the tremendous possibilities. UNICEF people are extremely friendly. It's a non-political arm of the UN, as non-political as you can get. And it's a wonderful starting point for many Baha'i projects. And the more Baha'is who are pioneers in the field can make friends with UNICEF people, I think the better it will be, because there is a very there'll be a lot of rapport, and there'll be many possibilities for let me see, Sherman, could you come up and tell us just briefly about what happened in India? This is a
We had been working in the field in a rural farm area in northern India for quite a few years, and had become increasingly involved in working more in the surrounding communities. So we had a primary health care project doing very similar activities to what we've just seen recommended in this film show. And we had first prepared the way by making really excellent friendships and contacts with our local officials in the medical college, in the government health agencies, and so on, so that we knew what they were doing, they knew what we were doing, and we had discussed well in advance the ways that we might collaborate. However, as I beat the bushes looking for more educational materials, which are just the foundation of anything that we want to be able to accomplish, I found that there were just not enough materials that were directly related to our particular rural Hindi-speaking population, even though there are millions and millions of people that fall into that category. So we went to UNICEF, and it just happened that they had run a project in the southern part of our state where they had developed radio scripts, comic strips, puppet shows, marionette shows, little photographs, and so on, that were to educate people about some of the same issues that we were dealing with. And they were very happy to share those materials with us, because they knew how we would use them. We knew that we wouldn't be exploiting them for any other kinds of publicity. They also sent their troop of people that play with marionettes, and they did about a half an hour show for quite a few of our villages on the subject of immunization, and I'm sure it's made a lasting impression. Probably, you know, I don't know how many years they're going to remember that show, but obviously it was highly motivational. And I don't know if you can grasp the difficulty of some of the things that we're trying to do, but just for example, when we want to immunize the children, the parents do not understand, in many cases, why children should be immunized. They know it hurts the child and makes the child cry, and they know that the child may run a fever. So they have three reasons why they might not want to come forth in our area, even though we're very close to them, even though they don't have to walk these distances. And interestingly enough, if you can appeal to them in many of the folk media, the ways that they understand, you know, songs, dance, puppets, and so on, this seems to touch at a different level in their lives and help them to become more interested in what you're doing. So I just mentioned briefly that I think our cooperation with UNICEF is highly productive, because we're working on very similar things in very similar ways. They also have realized really clearly that you can't just function in this top-down approach. You have to get people involved from the grass level, and then you get much better cooperation and results. Anyway, when we left India, we had finished two rounds of our first immunization campaign and have to get back quickly for the third one. And I think we had about 65% participation, which for a first time through on both rounds was quite good. And so we hope it will continue.
Thank you very much. Well, I guess I wanted to speak a little personally to begin with. I think there, as far as development is concerned, we're going to get into a phase where we will be drawing on the wonderful talents, resources that are increasingly becoming available through the younger Baha'i generation. It is really a thrill to see what's happening. Coming from the older generation, there is much to be grateful for also. And I'm speaking personally that when we talk about development amongst the world in the world community, really it's based on how we see each other. You know, who are we as human beings? What do we expect of each other? What do we give to each other? How do we grow and express our potential? And I certainly came from a background where that was almost impossible because of the traditional culture in which I was raised. It's something that all of us, I guess, are striving to come into touch with in helping each other to grow, as what are the barriers that each one of us is faced with in trying to grow and develop. And how sensitive we have to be to each other in trying to make those barriers easy to cross. So I have been very fortunate since coming into the Baha'i faith to have been given the opportunities to grow and develop. Because I stand here before you with very complimentary remarks from the person with whom I work very closely, without benefit of academic degrees or wide experience in a professional field, having really learned on the job and having had to struggle through the inner challenges of change with the support and help of my colleagues in the office, really. And most of these are men. And we've had our times in addressing the issues of women. But in retrospect, I don't think I would give up a minute of those times, because that struggle is what brings the victories and allows us to know each other better. So having said all that, I hope I have conveyed that the 12 years that I have been with the Baha'i International Community has been just rich in opportunities for growth and learning. I remember walking into the chamber, the Economic and Social Council chamber, one day in the early years, and it was not a meeting of the third committee where women are often more represented, and it was just a sea of men in dark suits. I don't think I had ever felt the impact quite so strongly, you know, it stays in my memories.